Cassidy Hutchinson worked as a special assistant to former President Donald Trump and to Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. In the events of January 6, she entered the public eye as a key witness in the House Select Committee's investigation into the attack on the Capitol and Trump's attempt to overturn the election results. Her new book, titled Enough, is out now, and she joins us on the KSRO Live Line. Good morning. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I'm very happy to be here with you all and being able to speak to your listeners.
So can you tell us initially what it was like for seeing Donald Trump and what it was about him that made you want to work for his administration?
So I guess to backpedal a little bit, I did vote for Trump in 2016. I had considered myself a Republican, and I talk about my upbringing in the book extensively, but I wasn't raised in a political family. But I was interested in politics and grew to understand that I felt that I identified with the Republican Party. It wasn't really until I went to my first Trump rally, which was his 100th day rally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that I felt very, the most diplomatic word here, I understood the allure of Donald Trump and the Trump movement. I remember very clearly standing at that rally, and I was close to the stage and I was listening to him speak, but I was also looking more around me, and I was standing around people that I felt like I recognized, not because I knew them, but because they looked like people I grew up around. You know, I grew up in a blue-collar family, and it was that moment for me where I thought, you know, maybe he is the politician that will change things. Maybe he really is the politician that will represent people like my parents and my family and the people I grew up around. But that said, I thought to have a career in public service. That same summer, I had an internship on Capitol Hill, but I didn't necessarily seek out a job in the Trump administration. I applied for an internship at the White House the following summer and got it, and then same job opened up the following summer. So I used to say I was in the right place at the right time. I now don't know whether I should say I was in the wrong place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah. So many people find Trump's habit of ridiculing people on social media and at his rallies very offensive. So how did you and other staffers around Trump, when you were working in his administration, how did you reconcile his behavior? And at what point did your opinion on that change?
Now that's a really important question, and one that I struggle to come to terms with today, primarily out of an element of shame. And I do admit that. I never once recall a time working in the administration where I agreed with one of his offensive or violent tweets. But there is a sense in the Trump administration or in Trump world, and I'm trying to be delicate with my phrasing, but even when he would tweet out crude and demeaning things towards other people, that there's a reason for it, or there's an excuse for it, or, you know, it's okay because of X, Y, and Z. And it's that the groupthink and the groupthink mentality is so strong in that environment that, you know, I like to think that I have a pretty strong spine, especially at this point in my life, but it took it away from me. And I don't say that with any form of flattery. I say that with shame, and I'm grateful for where I am now to be able to look back on that and recognize that I had become somebody in multiple ways that I had never wanted to become and never thought that I was. And I think it's important to use my perspective and use the platform that I have to help educate other people on how that's not normal behavior from anybody, especially a former president of the United States and potential GOP front runner for the next election cycle.
You did testify. You were one of the key witnesses, especially with your live testimony in the January 6th investigation by the House. There were millions of people who were watching you. Do you think that your testimony helped spur the Department of Justice to then launch their own investigation?
You know, I am a very firm advocate in putting faith in our systems of government. And I fully believe that the Justice Department operates best and is designed to operate behind closed doors. You know, that said, I didn't come forward to testify with any intention of spurring the Justice Department to open an investigation. Perhaps they had one open beforehand. You know, I don't know. I can't speculate about what they were doing or were not doing. But what I will say is, you know, I think what I testified to that day was important to start at least a national conversation and to help shed light on not only what happened that day, but from somebody that was there firsthand. And, you know, in my opinion, we have this severe lack of accountability in our society right now. And I think, you know, I have been and will continue to be very willing to hold myself accountable to the poor decisions that I have made in my past. But I've also been greeted and welcomed with the salvation and grace that has saved my life. And I want to be able to extend that to other people.
In your book, you talk about reading Bob Woodward's accounting of the Watergate scandal and how that gave you courage to testify. Was there someone in particular in that case, in the Watergate case, that you identified with?
Yes. I was at this really difficult moral crossroads where I had testified several times to the committee, not completely truthfully, and I was living with a lot of guilt for it. I wanted to be more truthful, but I felt like I was straddling between two worlds, because on one hand, I wanted to be more truthful, but on the other hand, I still was somewhat involved in Trump world, and I had Trump world appointed attorneys at that point. So I was looking for a moral compass, or I was looking for an example of somebody who may have found themselves in a similar position to me. So I Googled Watergate. You know, I had heard of John Dean, but I wasn't the White House counsel. I did not think that anything I knew was remotely close to the important information that John Dean knew. And I came across the name Alexander Butterfield, who had a very similar title in the Chief of Staff's office, H.R. Haldeman, to what I had with Mark Meadows. And I began reading about Alex Butterfield, and I saw that he co-wrote a book with Bob Woodward. And, you know, in reading that book, you know, Alex, to me, is one of the most remarkable American patriots that I know of. And he has the heart of a founding father. But he, you know, I felt I could relate to him in that book because he didn't want to voluntarily come forward and share what he knew with the Watergate committee or the committee investigating the Watergate scandal. But he knew that if he was asked to testify and he was asked a direct question, he would be completely truthful. And that was never a question for him. And it was in this morass of this moral struggle for me that I had realized how far gone I was from the person that I wanted to become, and I saw the person that I had wanted to become in Alex Butterfield. So he became my guiding light during this period, and we didn't have the chance to talk or meet until after I testified, because of that book, you know, that is a huge reason that I had the courage. He lent me some of his courage in those pages, and that's a big reason that I decided to write my own book.
I know that we've run out of time, but of course, this story is not over. Mark Meadows, your former boss, just granted immunity to testify under oath about Trump. So the story is continuing to come to light. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Thank you so much, Cassidy.
Thank you for having me.
Cassidy Hutchinson's new book called Enough is out in stores now.